is like a this has like been like a year in the making at this point.
It really has. Well, at you least. Know, first of all, like welcome to Inside the Bubble. This week I have Mike Harrington and Luke Trevisi. Not again.
Trevisi.
This has been a whole ass year in the making. By year, I mean since January. I was like, guys, we're gonna do
that.
It.
Is and the then, whole year.
That yeah. is, yeah. well, when you guys wanted to
were storming the Capitol when Amama hit us up about
this. She was like, hey, do you want to do a fun podcast while the world's burning? Please.
I was at the Capitol and I was like, okay, let me just have an alibi. I'm kidding. I wasn't at the Capitol. The five we people know. Who listened.
Yeah.
No, when you guys wanted to come on, what Harden had just come to the Nets and Kyrie was being a bitch. Yep. And that is, I forgot, like, I remember Mike was like, I really want to talk about this trade. And I was like, yeah, next week. And then we never did.
No.
I mean, we can still talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, there's really, first of all, Luke, you're wearing a Knicks fucking.
Not just a Knicks jersey, a Jeremy Lin Knicks jersey. The only valid Knicks jersey that I'm allowed to wear anymore is a Jeremy Lin jersey.
Wait, how long?
With a Randall right now.
I could for sure, but as an Asian man, you gotta go Jeremy Lin.
That's true. There's the three Asian dudes on this pod that I've had, which you know both of them or three of them, they've all been like, oh, Jeremy Lin. So you guys are like hardcore.
Have
you
have one? They've got one.
We've got one.
You've got one. That's it.
Yao Ming. We used to have Yao Ming.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that doesn't count though, dude. Like, that'd be like if some, like, that'd be like me claiming Conor McGregor. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's true. That's true.
Wait, why don't you claim Conor McGregor?
Dude, because he's from over there. And it's one of those things where it's like, if you talk to a real Irish person, they're like, oh, you're Irish, are you? Oh, your cousin's second, dog walker, like whatever. It's like they don't respect Americans who grew up in America. The same way Yao Ming was like, yeah, I was 5'3" until I had my first glass of milk. So, like, he doesn't respect us over here.
No.
No, that's true. I'm curious, Luke, how long have you been a Knicks fan? Is this, like, a recent, like, you're just jumping? No. Okay.
No, baby. I've been on for a minute. I've been on since I would say, was I, like, 14? I started watching basketball. It was when my parents started getting divorced because my dad was a cop, didn't want us watching basketball. So, so then I started watching basketball.
Trevisi.
Yeah, there you go. Ayo, what's it with these these people playing in the basketball? I don't like it.
Wait, did he just he was like, you can't watch basketball? That was
no, he was just like, you know, turn that crap off every time.
He's like too many black and brown people.
He used to say he used to call it the African ballet, which is highly offensive.
He was not a fan of that talk in his house.
No. Absolutely not. So, you know, now that I had my freedom to watch basketball, I started watching the Knicks, obviously, because that's the New York team. And boy, did I not know what kind of a roller coaster I was getting on. You know, it's just ups and downs with the Knicks every year.
And this, like, my first question is always, like, why did you start watching basketball or when? So you have a good, like, your parents divorced, so the Knicks and you are, like, bonded for life.
Yeah, exactly.
If they win, do you talk to your dad often or no?
No, not at all.
Okay, if the Knicks win, will you text your dad and be like, see, Dad?
Yeah, I'll call him. I'll call him and be like, you were wrong.
The African ballet is great. you started watching.
Oh, dude, my dad will not let me live this down. He was a contractor and he used to do work for like a lot of like really rich people in Westchester County. And one of his customers like just gave him floor seats, right? Like they had their like company had floor seats or whatever, and it was his turn to get them. And he's like, yeah, I'm not gonna go to this game. It was Shaq's rookie year against the Magic. We were literally, yeah, like on the fucking floor next to Spike, triple overtime game. And me being the 5-year-old that I was like, all right, I've had enough popcorn and candy and soda. Like, I cannot take this anymore. I want to go home right now. We left in the middle of the third quarter. The game was still going on by the time we got home to Westchester. My dad will not let me live it down to this day.
You like owe your dad like fucking floor seats for a Knicks game.
to be fair, this may not register with you guys, but the greatest Monday night football comeback of all time was Jets Dolphins. And I was in the stands for that at 13 years old, right? Like my dad had, he had like an engagement that he had to get back to like at midnight and was like, the Jets were down like 21 points in the third quarter. He's like, it's over. We're going home. As we're walking out in the parking lot, I hear like, whoa, like the Jets score. As we're driving home, like the Jets tie up the game and eventually go on to win the greatest comeback of all time. And we left in the third quarter. So I get to hold that over
you
his
do,
head
you
back
do.
In
yeah, right,
you got that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you both need to be at a game where you both decide to leave. And it's like triple overtime, the best game in the history of sports.
what it's ultimately led to is the exact opposite now. Cause like my house is like Knicks, Rangers, I can't even think of the other professional sports, what they are right now. Jets, yeah. Which like already three all-time losing teams right there.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then, yeah, my dad's a Yankee fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. So it's like if there's ever a game that we're at now, like it's usually is just pain. It's pain and misery, but we can't leave because who knows? You know what
That's
I mean?
True.
We have bad
yeah.
luck with leaving.
Yeah.
So. I feel like everyone in New York picks like it's such a struggle with your teams where like I love the Jets or I used to when I was like younger and then I stopped watching football. The Jets, I think in like 07 almost like made it to like the playoffs and then they fucked up and I was so sad. But then like for me, I actually used to like the Celtics. So Luke, I was like a weirdo and I did not, only because I was in Boston. So when I like got back into basketball, like the first time I got into it, I loved the Kings. I loved the Kings Lakers series. That was like all time, one of my favorite, like I was like 10, 11. And then went to Boston and I was like, I guess the Celtics are kind of okay. And I hated them, but I was like, I need some team to root for.
So were you there for like the Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce run?
I was there from 2013 to 20. I don't remember if
so you were after.
I was after. I was when they really sucked. Like dudes used to bring me to like Celtics games because they were like, oh, you like basketball. But I was like, this shit sucks. Like it was not fun.
So like, wait, so like you're telling me you would do like nosebleed seat dates with like fucking Boston dudes?
Yeah.
Dude, that's pretty sick. What's like the coolest? So like when your team is that bad, like the Knicks have been for the last 20 years or so, like a lot of the fun and like a lot of the is just going to see like the young stars on other teams. So like being able to see like Carl Anthony Towns when he was with it was like Towns and whoever the other guy was at that time. It might've been Butler. But like just seeing them get the play together is like as a Knicks fan, just watching them get blown out is so fun. Like, so who's like the best like opponent team you got to see smoke the Celtics during that run?
Honestly, I'll be like super honest. At that time, I was just like, I really just didn't love Boston sports. So I don't think I had like such a passion for it. Where it was more of like, I was like, yeah, I like to watch basketball. So dudes would just be like, I'll take you to a game. You'll fuck me afterwards. Duh. So I don't think like now though, like
beers are $12.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I didn't pay for the tickets either. So
that's what I'm saying. Like I feel like you got the deal in this situation.
You did.
Yeah. I just sex one time and then I get to go to a game. But now I saw the Nets recently live in person, and that was so fucking fun to watch. Just seeing, like, I think they were against the Pelicans and the Pelicans blow out. It was not a good game. But at the same time, it was like Zion, like watching Blake Griffin, like all these players being like, shit, like I've seen all these people for so long on TV and now I get to see them like play out in person, see these dynamics. It was fucking great. But I was going to ask you guys, who do you think is going to like win it all this year? And I know, Luke, you probably want to say the Knicks.
Oh, you know I do. You know I do.
But deep down in your heart, who do you really think is going to win it?
I think the Nuggets.
You fake fan.
after the last game against the Knicks, I was like, okay, so it's going to be a Knicks-Nuggets finals, and the Nuggets are going to sweep us. That's what's going to happen.
You have how little faith that you've been watching them forever. Is it just you're just being more realistic?
You don't understand. I am not being pessimistic about the Knicks. I think they're getting to the finals. I am smoking crack compared to the average Knicks fan. See, look at Mike's face. He thinks I'm crazy.
Dude, you've been beaten too long as a Knicks fan. So, like, let me get this straight. You became a fan in 2007. So, like, your, like, surrogate father is Eddie Curry, correct?
No, it's Chris Duhon for the one season he was there.
Okay, sure. So, it's like, you know, the worst of the worst Knicks teams. Your highlight of your life of being a Knicks fan at this point is the Jeremy Lin step back three against Kobe on Valentine's Day in 2012, if I'm not mistaken.
Second favorite moment is the Toronto Raptors game, three-pointer, buzzer beater, of course.
Okay, yep.
Go ahead, Mike.
I remember watching that live. It was fucking incredible. So it's like, for me, for you to say you think you're going to make the finals, like in your lifetime as a Knicks fan, you've seen them win one playoff series.
Yes.
And they dropped balloons from the ceiling when they did so.
Absolutely. It was the greatest
As
moment.
You should.
You win one playoff series?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
We're gonna beat the Hawks, no problem. All right. Julius Randle's gonna come in, do a little razzle dazzle, boom. All right. RJ Barrett gonna hit the corner, boom. All right. I'm telling you exactly how it's going. All right. We're gonna sweep the Hawks. Second round, the Nets. We're gonna bribe the Nets. We're gonna be like,
is Trae Young injured still, or was he like he was when I like saw the last game? But you really think you're gonna sweep the Hawks?
We're gonna sweep the Hawks.
Really?
Yeah, we're gonna sweep the Hawks. It's just gonna happen.
They had like trouble with that game when Trae Young was doing his dumbass shit where he just like stopped short.
Yeah,
but, like,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Yeah. All right. So you're gonna sweep the Hawks.
I have nothing to back this up other than just blind faith. Then when we face the Nets in the second round, obviously that's going to be a little bit more, you know, complicated. I said, we're going to bribe the team. We're going to talk to Kevin Durant and we're going to be like, hey, Kevin, we'll never bother you again if you just let us win this series. And he'll be like, word, I do hate the Knicks very much. So if you guys never talk about me again, that'd be great. And then he'll lose that series. He'll be like, oh, my ankle's bum or something. And then he can't play. And then boom, we're in the Eastern Conference Finals. Then when we're in the Eastern Conference Finals, it's going to be we beat the Nets. Everybody else is going to be like, who the fuck are these guys? Is it the Bucks? They're scared. Everyone's afraid of us.
Wow. Okay.
New York, get the money.
If I'm going to reference this exact clip anytime, like if something goes wrong, I'll put you on blast. If something goes right, I'll be like, hey, good for you. But this is so confident. I don't think you've been this confident about anything. I've talked to you like three or four times. So this is
Mike can attest. I'm never this confident about anything.
Well, Mike,
no,
what do
I
you
mean,
think,
I,
though?
I genuinely didn't know Luke was capable of confidence before today. I want to take a look at what the standings are because honestly, like, depending on what that play-in game is gonna look like, I think that's going to be interesting because the play-in side for the East right now is, you know, like last year it felt like a formality. You know what I mean? Like there was such a distance between like the Wizards and like I can't even remember. I think it was the Heat in that play. I don't. So it's like depending on who comes out of there, it's going to be interesting. But for me, I don't see it being anything other than some combination of Philly or Milwaukee and Brooklyn. Like that's like, I hate to just be like super safe and go chalk, but it's like the Heat have shown me absolutely nothing this year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
RJ Barrett. I do not know that you can trust him for four out of seven games in a playoff series. Like he is so trick or treat, dude. He's so hit or miss. You know, within the first 4 minutes of a game, whether or not RJ Barrett is going to show up that night. And if if he's on. Certainly, I think the combination of Randle and Barrett can win a game in a series against any team in the East right now. I think he can consistently put that together four out of seven games? Nothing about his career up to this point tells me so. The only guy out on that floor I can rely on is Julius Randle. The fact that Julius Randle is right now playing like at the very least, you know, third team all NBA forward right now. Like, yeah, I could see him going out there and bumping bodies with Embiid. You know, I could see him being an issue clogging the lane for somebody like Giannis attacking the rim. But I just don't know that you're going to get enough out of RJ Barrett and the rest of that supporting cast to make it through a 7-game series against any of the truly elite teams in the East. So I think it's going to be another one and done.
No, I also think that the Bucks, we put too much like, oh yeah, the Bucks are going to do really well. Last year they fucking dropped the ball. So I actually don't have that much faith in the Bucks. I do want both of you to have a bet though. How fun would, come on. If
that would not be fun for me.
Yes.
Yeah. Why? It would also not be fun for me because here's my problem, right? Like I am a Jets, Nets, Rangers fan. Like I'm so built to just be like, yeah, my team is not going to win. Like we'll show up and like be real tough in defeat, but we win. Get out of here. We don't, no joy happens in these colors. Like that's crazy. So for me to be like sitting there, like secretly rubbing my hands, like Mr. Burns, watching my team implode. Like that's not fun to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, wait, I'm curious. Have you guys ever cried over a game?
Yes.
Like a yes. Oh, when did you cry?
Oh, over a basketball game?
Yeah.
I was going to say, for me, I know for sure I've cried over a Jets playoff loss. I want to say, you know what it was? Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller went Super Saiyan against the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I had to spend Patrick Ewing's entire prime going to a total of one NBA final in his prime, one in his that's right, he was off the team by 99, so yeah, he got in one finals his entire prime, and it was like that was it, right? Like Jordan was like vanquished for a little bit, you know what I mean? Like Jordan was finally out of the picture, it was finally our time. Give us our fucking makeup title, right? Like the David Stern wanted the Knicks to win so bad. Like, you just know he wanted like a Knicks whoever finals, Knicks Lakers, Knicks what? As soon as Michael was out of the league, and it's like Reggie Miller just would not let that happen. Nope. And it was like he literally caught fire like an NBA jam, hit about like 19 threes in 4 minutes. And I just remember breaking down at like 8 years old. Like, I'm never going to see a title. Like, my dad's going to die. And we're never going to celebrate a Knicks title together.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't a game. It was the moment when Amari Stoudemire punched that fire extinguisher against the Heat. That was the moment when I was like, oh, this is exactly the same thing as Mike. It just, oh, everything is lost. Fuck all of this. Amari doesn't want to play. He punched a fire extinguisher and can't play. It's the most embarrassing injury in the playoffs I've ever heard.
All right. Real quick, Die Hard. I don't, Mama, do you know this story? What's worse, the punching the fire extinguisher or Carmelo almost fighting KG over your wife tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios?
Wait, I don't know that story.
That's a good one.
What happened?
So Carmelo Anthony is married to, I think it was former MTV VJ Lala was her name.
Oh, yeah, Lala.
And, you know, I mean, she may have been a little, you know, she might have sampled a couple of NBA players before settling for, you know, like, this is the right one. She Cinderella'd it, you know, found the shoe that fit, and it stuck with Carmelo. But, KG, during a game one time, was like, playing tough defense against Carmelo, and he whispered in his ear, your wife tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios.
And then
Carmelo apparently tried to fight him.
Yeah. He waited outside of the Celtics. I believe it was the Celtics at the time. The Celtics locker room. Waiting
I
for
forgot
him to
about
get
that.
Out. Yeah. And this was right when Lala and Carmelo were about to get a divorce. So he was just not having it.
Damn.
Fantastic moment. God.
That is my favorite new moment. I'm going to, I know about someone in the last episode talked to me about when, I think it was Reggie Miller's wife, like tried to burn down his house.
What?
Or like, I think it was, I forget. It was one of those things, but I was like, I love the gossip part of basketball. I love when the wives are like, we're going to fuck shit up or someone that, it's my favorite.
Do you watch Basketball Wives?
No, I don't, because it got too, it was like, I did the first season. And then after that, I was like, I was watching Mafia, Mob Wives, Basketball Wives. I needed to take a break.
That's fair. I was going to say, I do feel like that's a really fun subculture. You know what I mean? Like the women who accept the foibles of dating an NBA player. And like, I don't know, like if you were to just shoot that and not pitch them fucking segment ideas and like overproduce it, I feel like that actually could be like a fun ass thing.
Yeah.
like learning the rules of All-Star Weekend.
That's the thing. Look, I always joke around about like hooking up with like athletes and I want to, I absolutely would not. They all cheat. They all, also, I'm not a model. I would have to hook up with like the athlete who's like on his like last leg. He's like dying and he's like, I need someone to take care of me. I'd be like, me.
You could do Brandon Roy now.
You know, it's Dan Yang told me, he was like, oh, Blake Griffin, you could probably fuck Blake Griffin. He's not like that great anymore. And I was like, okay.
No, he still was Blake Griffin at one point. Like, exactly. You gotta go. No, it's like, you gotta hope that like
Raymond Felton, you know, is in town.
It's like, you know, pull a desperation trade for like you know, Giannis's older brother.
Yeah. Oh, okay. One of the Antetokounmpos.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, one of the failed Antetokounmpos. Just fucking, you're at Thanksgiving with Giannis. That's still fun.
That is. He's fun. Also like 23 or 24 now. So it's just like, be like, yeah, look at that kid. He's doing so well. Me at 31, just being like, all right, I'm going to get your family's money.
Ruffle his hair.
Do you guys have a favorite NBA moment that you were like, not that you cried over, you were like, holy shit, like, it brought life into you again? And I know, Luke, you mentioned a few earlier.
Of course. I'm gonna omit the Jeremy Lin stories for okay. now. Just because, like, you already know. It's Jeremy Lin moments for me. But for the most I would have to say, I mean, recently, the one that comes to mind is the buzzer beater on for the Raptors, Kawhi Leonard with the fucking bouncing around in the last second of the game. That was a huge moment where I'm like, oh, this is basketball. This is what basketball is all about, you know?
Yeah.
It's like this wild and crazy. And then another one, maybe Rudy Gay, the Rudy Gay moment where he hits a buzzer beater. There's like a famous video where some guys in the crowd, I don't remember what team they were playing, but he was on the Grizzlies, I think. And then they were playing and some guy goes, Oh, we're about to win. Oh no, Rudy Gay, not this guy. And then he shoots it, gets the buzzer beater, and he's like, fucking Rudy Gay, man. And it's one of my favorites.
I fucking love that. My recent favorite was just a March Madness game. It was the Gonzaga UCLA game, where I felt like UCLA had this fight, and then that like last shot for Gonzaga, and I was inside. I think what I really loved about that, I was inside a bar again and with a lot of like random fucking people, and it's a bar that I always go to. So they're like, yeah, we'll put on the game for you. But everyone collectively, it was like the first sports moment in so long, but everyone collectively like cheered, or they were like, what the fuck? And it was, gave me so much life. And that's when I was like, I gotta re-record this podcast. So,
yeah.
Mike, what about you?
I mean, it's crazy because it's like, it feels like every night there is like that micro moment. Like just last night, Luka hitting like a step back floater over LeBron with like a couple seconds left to go up four. And like a, you know, like one of those things where I look at it, I'm like, oh, is Luka actually ready to make the leap this year? Like, could the Mavericks like really upset the apple cart here and like fuck up the West? But it's like, for me, I think of like all timers, the first one that springs to mind, I already mentioned it, the Jeremy Lin step back on Kobe, like in Kobe's face, mm-hmm. in the garden. Like, mm-hmm. what? Kobe came to the garden and got outshone by Jeremy fucking Lin for a night. Like this, mm-hmm. Kobe went for 80 in the garden. Like, are you kidding me? But like, you know, classic all time when I was a kid, Jordan Diddy push off against Byron Russell, with the step back, the most picture perfect end to a career of all time. Yeah. And then the one that jumps into my mind most would be, Ray Allen, you know, LeBron takes the three, Bosh in the exact perfect spot hits Ray Allen, who's backing up into the spot that like Ray Allen has taken this three, you know, 1,000 times since, you know, the preseason for this one moment in the finals. I think he was down. They were down four at the time. Bang, hits the three, come back down. Kawhi Leonard misses one of two free throws, like whatever the case may be. LeBron hits the three again, like that game, game six of the, what was it? It was 2013 NBA Finals.
Yeah.
I want to say is arguably the greatest game of basketball ever played. You know, you have Tim Duncan at the very tail end of his apex, Kawhi reaching the peak of his apex, LeBron at the absolute height of his powers, willing a team that shouldn't have won two titles. You know what I mean? Like, that was a one title team that they put together, given all of the restrictions that they had with the salary cap at that time, with those three stars together, Dwayne Wade hitting his apex the year before, like while LeBron was still getting, like, they just couldn't peak at the exact same time to get that, like, not two, not three, not four, but like LeBron 100% willing to do that. And then Ray Allen just being that addition, leaving the Celtics to come play with this super team for this one moment, being in the exact perfect spot to hit the three is, I don't know, that should go down like in, you know, like the UFC does this cool thing where they have a Hall of Fame for fights, right? So it's like, if maybe this guy didn't have like a Hall of Fame career, but he has that one fight that like still gives fans chills when they talk about it today, Ray Allen should make the Hall of Fame like strictly on that one shot.
Off the strength of that
one. Yeah. What's a moment in your life that's felt like that for you, like a championship moment where you were like, I feel like on top of the fucking world? The way that you have, like, this is where I get into my emotional stuff, so don't make a face. The way that, like, you, like, describe, because when you're both talking about it, it's like, there's so much, like, life in this moment, but what's, like, a moment for you where you were like, fuck yeah, like, I can't believe, it could be losing your virginity, I don't know, Luke, are you still a virgin? I don't know, but
100%.
You kidding me? Those dimples?
Yeah, those dimples, that jersey and the backwards cap.
Yeah, what's up, fellow kids? Mike, do you have one that comes to mind?
Yes, obviously. What?
Okay.
I fucking fought a man.
Like, yeah, that's true. You did fight a man.
Yeah, I'm like, I fought a man. I get like, all right, so like that night, I just remember, you know, I like there was a drone that was flying around getting footage of the whole thing. And it's like in the moment, like time slowed down. Right. Like, I don't know if you've ever read the book Way of the Peaceful Warrior. Like, it was like some really it was like self-help disguised as like an action story. And they made like a movie out of it. It was like real Tony Robbins-esque. But it got me when I was like 17. And he talks in there about like this concept that like high level athletes talk about getting into a flow state and like being 100% instinctive, just fucking reacting and being totally present in the moment. Right. And like trusting every bit of training you've had up to that point. And it's like, for me, like fighting this guy, I swear to you, there was one point where he was rushing at me. And I was back in the gym with Diego, just moving around on the mats, just practicing backing up, slipping a jab that was lazily thrown out there, and then just overextending into a right hand, turning everything in my body into it, and just finding that money punch and like perfectly setting a very basic trap, right? But like, it, for me, like, it just all clicked. Like, I was fucking Russell Crowe looking at patterns in A Beautiful Mind. Yeah, and it was just like, bang, I extended into him, dropped this guy with one shot, and I just walked away. I remember I fucking shoulder checked the ref. I was like, save your fucking boy. Save your fucking boy. It's like the ref was his trainer. And like, I've never felt more powerful in my entire life. Just watching a man crumple with one turn of my fist and then being able to tell somebody else, like, he needs help. I don't want to keep doing this to him. Like,
that's so amazing.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude. And I remember like, so that night we were partying and I just remember like Lewis got a text with the drone footage. And so like, there's just me, like just it's perfectly from the back. You see the full extension into him, like hits him in the chin and his whole body goes limp. And I must have watched that 300 times that night, just that one over and over again, dude.
Absolutely.
Like, if there's an NFT, I would spend, you know, thousands on that moment just to be able to have that at all times.
I guess for me it would be the moment that I performed at the Comedy Store in the main room. That was very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
It was the one time Mike wasn't there. He had to go out and get coffee for everybody. And I was very upset about it because I was like, the only people I really want to see the set are the interns, you know, that I was working with. But he missed it. But it was definitely like exactly what you said, where, you know, you punch a guy in the face in the middle of your set and you're like, I'm having a good set. You know, it was just really felt like, oh, this is all the training that I've been doing. Yeah. You think back to all those moments you're doing those fucking shitty shows where everybody's like yelling at you and they don't think you're very funny. And you're just like nailing every single joke. And you're just like, oh, wow, this is what it is. If you don't like this, you don't like NBA basketball, you know?
Hell yeah. Oh, I love those fucking moments.
What wasn't great was afterwards when I smoked too much weed and drank too much and had a panic attack in front of all of my favorite comedians.
But that's fine.
Life's full of ups and downs.
Dude, you were a hit that night, man. I don't know what you're talking about. You came in the room apologizing.
Yeah, I know. I apologize to everybody for being weird.
Oh, my God. Luke, we're the same person. I apologize to everyone fucking constantly. And everyone's like, you're being a fun hang. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. I spelled my name wrong. Kim Congdon was like,
we bullied him.
Yeah. Kim Congdon was like, you got to write your name on the wall. And then I spelled my name wrong and I had to cross it out and put my name properly, which, that's always going to be a moment in my life, but it was a fun night overall.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, I think both of those moments are probably the best moments I've heard. I've always wanted to have like a sports moment. So I feel like, Mike, like I'm very jealous that you got to have like such a fucking fantastic sports moment. I see fights all the time. I'm a huge boxing fan, but there's nothing, I can't punch for shit. There's nothing that in me that like could conjure up that moment.
No, I mean, like, that's realistically, if you go back and watch me fight Lewis at Skankfest, like, you're 100% wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I looked cartoonish, right? Like, I still, I can't watch that full thing, right? Like, I get a minute into me cutting a promo before it, and I'm like, I need to turn this off because I know how badly I got my ass beat. And it's like, I had no clue how to throw a jab. So it's like going from that to, you know, just like, actually working on something, right? Like having a whole pandemic to be like, there's nothing going on. I'm genuinely going to dedicate 6 months to like learning this thing for some reason. Anyone can do it, and it's the coolest thing ever.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm gonna force you to train me at some point.
Who are you calling out? Call them out right now. Call out whoever you want to fight.
We'll Luke, start- you.
I can't fight you.
He would kick my ass, I know.
I cannot.
No, but like
you.
I've had a bunch of fans.
My neighbor, she's a bitch.
Fuck yeah. Sunday night. Like a
pay-per-view. Except pay-per-view. It's just like
a mama versus her shitty neighbor.
Dude, that'd be fucking dope.
I know.
You should slide a bout agreement under her door. Just write it up. Fucking 6 months from now, like pick the place, put the COVID regulations right in the document.
It's and my like, kitchen. You know. Weapons allowed. Sure. Fight to the death. Let's go.
Fuck yeah.
Yo, if she signs it, I mean, this is a mutual combat state. It is what it is.
Just have someone yell Mortal Kombat and then we just like, or fight and then that's it.
I great. Like that Mike knows that this is a mutual combat state. It seems very on brand for him to know that.
I actually do know that this is not a mutual combat state.
You set her up for failure. It's,
yeah.
I go to jail.
No, but yeah. But it's like, so I have had that conversation with a number of people from, believe you me, who've just hit me up, who've been like, you know, I am a fan. I work in a warehouse and I listen to you guys. And it's like, I think it's so cool that like you're going out and trying to do this. And I tell each and every one of them just like, yeah, book a fight. Just book a fight. 6 months from now against somebody else who's never done this before, right? And just commit yourself to fighting, just being better than somebody else who's never trained before, right? And fucking like that to me was the what became a motivating factor was like, I don't need to be like the best fighter ever going into this fight. I just need to know that I worked harder than my opponent.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's something true. I would like I definitely would do that shit because like that is why I would want to fight. Like, I want to train my body in certain ways that I've never done it before and, like, have a way to express it. And I think boxing and MMA is, like, some really, like, fun shit for that. Now I don't need to find someone to fight. I'm gonna throw it out tonight. Just go to some... like, Katie Boyle, do you want to fight? she has, like... She would kick my ass. I would be a great
fighter. She's too lanky for you. That'd be a problem. A mama with the push kicks? Mm-hmm.
I love Katie. She's going to bring me to Ireland. Maybe that's where we could do our combat, combat state, Ireland.
Oh, hell yeah.
Who's your all-time favorite athlete? Like, it doesn't have to be basketball. Oh. It could be, but I feel like a lot of people have, like, their favorite athletes in basketball and not, but, like, their legacy. Like, what's about that athlete that you fucking love? Jeremy
ahead,
Lin.
Well, I was gonna pick Jeremy Lin, but
Here's the thing. I wanted to do mine first because I want to give Luke plenty of time to get his thoughts together about why, dude. Like, you don't understand, dude. Luke has been waiting to get teed up his entire comedy career on why Jeremy Lin made him feel things. So,
okay, true. Yes.
For me, I am like fighting has just always been the one like. Fighting quickly surpassed NFL and NBA for me as like just the most basic, like these are two guys who are just going to try to beat the shit out of each other. Like there's no ball, there's no rule. Like this is as simple as it gets, man. So there's nothing better to for in my mind than MMA. So if you're talking about just athletes, the two people who've made me feel more than any two other people, Michael Bisping and Conor McGregor, right? I've seen both of them fight live multiple times. The only thing that rivals being in the crowd for a Conor McGregor fight is being in the crowd for a Michael Bisping fight. When you have literally a one-eyed man, he got his fucking eye kicked off by another MMA fighter who was cheating at the time, right? As soon as they implemented fair drug testing, just to make the sport clean enough to make a $4 billion sale, he became the fucking champion of the world. And it's one of those things where you look at it and you're like, if this guy was juicing like everybody else for fucking, you know, the 10 years prior, he probably would be a multi-millionaire, but he did it the right way. He got to have a super fight at Madison Square Garden against, in my mind, the greatest of all time and took him to his fucking limit, you know, before losing the belt. And it's like, that guy's journey is just, he literally picked up fighting while he was in jail. He got arrested, Damn. Did 3 months while he had a young son and was like, yeah, fuck this. Like, I'm going to actually fight professionally to feed my children. And he became a world champion. And it's like, there's nothing that surpasses that. But being in the crowd when Conor McGregor comes out is just, I don't know. There's something electric about it. I've met Floyd Mayweather. I've never been to a Floyd Mayweather fight, but I assume there's something else like where it's like, oh, we're seeing a video game boss come out right now to fight a mortal. And it's like, I don't know. There's just something about that that really, I don't know. It just sticks with me. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah. All right, Luke, you ready?
Yeah, I guess I'm ready. I'll go with the first very obvious one. As a Filipino man, I have to pick Manny Pacquiao as one of my favorite athletes of all time. All right, obviously, brought the crime down in the Philippines every time he fought. The crime rate in the Philippines was 0% when he fought. Everybody, criminals were like, no, we're not going to, what? No, it's Manny night. We got to watch Manny fight. Otherwise, things will go wrong. You know, that's one thing that's like incredible. But let's do it. Let's do the Jeremy Lin thing.
Yes, all right? Yeah.
So Jeremy Lin, when he first came into the league, I was in high school, right? When he first came into the league, he was undrafted. He was on the Warriors. And I remember this because the Knicks were playing the Warriors. And I just see on the bench one day, I'm like, there's a fucking Asian guy on the bench. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Why is he not getting any minutes, right? And then, you know, I followed his career, And it was like, you know, very passive. It was like Jeremy Lin scored 3 points tonight. I'm like, that's my guy right there. So when he got when he signed to the Knicks, it was probably one of my favorite moments in all of history, because I was like, you guys don't understand. We have Jeremy Lin now. We can do anything. And everyone laughed at me. They were like, yeah, that's fine. And then watching him slowly come out of his shell, the first game, it doesn't count as like part of Lin's sanity, but the game against the Pistons was the first game where they really let him play, because D'Antoni was just out of guys and he was sitting on the bench and he was like, all right, Lin, go play some minutes. And he got like 10 points. Melo was like doing like bows at him every time he was scoring. It was fantastic, right? And then the whole culture around my school and Jeremy Lin completely changed overnight. with this guy as he's just started to rack up these points, right? And I think that was like, and you start to hear more about his story and how he's like had all of these, he never really had any opportunities. And you just, it just showed you what was capable and also like put a stamp on like Asian Americans in NBA. Like it's possible, you know? And that's like a moment that you can't really take away, is this huge, huge moment. And then he wins a ring years later with Toronto. Right. And you're just like, this is a guy who's just been struggling. And even now he's still playing. He's playing in the G League right now, but he wants to sign to a team. And it's like there's like a kind of a dogged nature to Jeremy Lin that I really respect, that you just don't see. And he's got his own signature shoe. And as a sneakerhead, sneaker fan, guy who has a sneaker podcast, that's cool to me that some guy just has a shoe that's like playing in the G League right now. So I think like overall, just like business acumen and story and like skill, you know, all combined together just makes him my favorite athlete.
Hell yeah. Oh my God, guys. The reason I also asked this, go ahead. Mike.
Did you not bring up that he was in a Marvel comic?
That's true. He also teamed up with the Hulk to beat intergalactic aliens in basketball. So I don't know anybody else.
That's so cool.
It was the Asian Hulk too.
Oh shit. I want a link to that.
Yeah, I got you. Say that. All right,
cool. Hell yeah.
No, that's better. That's better Space Jam 2, by the way, if they ever make that movie.
Pretty much.
Guys, are we all going to go to see Space Jam 2 together? Yes. Midnight showing. We got to go when there's no kids. All right. This is the reason I asked, this is my last question. You love basketball. You love these players. What's one thing you love about yourself? And what's one thing you love or like about the other person on this podcast?
This one might take a minute.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, this is legitimately the worst sports show I've ever been on. Are you kidding me? We have to talk about feelings about our friends.
What did you think this sports show was? I had said it a while back. It's feelings. I asked guys about sports and if they love their dads. Obviously, uh-huh. I've amended the questions a little bit because not everyone has a dad, Luke.
Word. I want to say my favorite thing about Mike is that he's a 9 out of 10 scoring UFC fighter. I think that's amazing. No, seriously, Mike is probably is one of my favorite people because he has a very unique way of looking at the world. Right. He has a very unique way of looking at the world. Sometimes it'll stress everybody out, but he always remains himself 100% genuine. Every time you meet Mike, it's the same Mike, you know, and you don't get that a lot in the comedy industry. You know, this man is just always front facing about who he is and what he does. Right. He'll forget a ladder to go to like do something that's very important for a job. But he'll figure out something to do to fix it, you know, like he'll fix it. It's just going to happen. I don't know how he does it, but the man is incredible. So I will say that about Mike. My favorite thing about me is that I like Mike.
No, Luke, you literally just brought up the ladder incident to hurt me.
No, I really didn't. There was like some ladder incident. I don't even remember it anymore. I just remember there was a moment where I was sternly yelling at him like an Asian father about a ladder.
Oh, man.
But
Okay. So literally the biggest fight I'm arguably the biggest fight I've been in since I've started working in this world was over a ladder. And I had to have Luke like legit get in my face about how much of a bitch I was being. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Well, Mike, yeah, your turn.
Okay. I mean, Luke is beyond a shadow of a doubt, the hardest working person I know. You know what I mean? Like Luke is a guy that like, while he was in high school being like having his friends like big him up for being like, oh shit, Jeremy Lin, what's good? He was already worried about a mortgage. So it's like he has this insane old man energy about him that's like, fucking grow up right now. And he takes it into everything that he does, but he still is able to find the silly and the funny in things that are like absolutely tragic. You know what I mean? There have been times where I've been my saddest and like Luke is always able to find the funny in it because it's like, I have grown-up problems. Fuck you. You know what I mean? The thing I like most about myself has to be the beard.
I hate that no guy ever says anything good about themselves. You guys did. Your beard is great. I like that you like Mike, but you know, come on. Like in your, I'll say one nice thing about both of you that I like about both of you, but I feel like you both are so beyond easygoing. Every time I'm around you, I feel so, so comfortable. And Mike, that was like almost immediate. And I had like, I was a little nervous about you when I first met you, because I think I was just like, oh, like all the dudes at Fight Club, like just seem kind of mean. And then you were like just the nicest fucking person in the world. Oh, I didn't give you dessert for over 2 years. You were very patient about that. I promised you donuts and brownies, and I did not do that until like the pandemic. And then Luke, every single time I've talked to you, it's just been such a fun hang. Like, I think you saw me bomb really badly at Fight Club, and you're like, yeah, it's all good. Shit happens.
And it's all good.
Yeah, and then we just like talked for a bit, and it was so fucking nice. So I don't know, you both are really good people who are going to go very far in your lives. And I'm so excited to like be friends with both of you. And I really want people who listen to this to find you. So where can the 50 people and my friend Jeff who listen find you for this podcast?
Go ahead, Mike.
What's up, Jeff? Well, Jeff, if you want to follow me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMHarrington. I did that because it kind of looks like them, so I can claim non-binary if I ever get called on any of the nonsense that I say podcasts like Notes of a Goon, which comes out every Tuesday at midnight. So check that out. It's me and Chris from Brooklyn. Yeah, I don't know. Pontificating.
Yes. Notes of a Goon is a great show. There was an episode where they tried to pitch a grant and they just didn't get, what was it for a Ninja Turtles-esque fighting arena slash arcade or something like that?
So there's a thing called the David Grant in New York where they'll just give you $250,000 to make New York City a better place. So we said, what would make New York better than creating a Waffle House, right? Somewhere in the city that also had a Foot Clan lair in the basement. Because New York was at its best when it had all night diners and a Foot Clan running around.
Right.
So I don't think anyone can argue, because you could straight up get a fair one in Times Square. In 1992, you could just walk up to a guy and be like, all right, like we're throwing hands right now. And you could shoot a fair one and get like a $20 hooker. And then Giuliani came in and turned it into Disney World. And now artists can't afford to live here. Let us get our Foot Clan Waffle House and make New York great again.
Make New York great again. Absolutely. Absolutely. I endorsed it privately, and I'm now endorsing it publicly. That being said, you can find me at Trevezus, T-R-O-V-E-E-Z-U-S on Instagram and Twitter. If you follow me on Instagram, there's a link to a stand-up clip called Luke Trevisi Does a Cocaine Joke, which is a very fun little joke I did when I was on the road. A lot of crowd work in it. It's definitely a fun clip. Also mentioned a fun story with me and Mike in it.
I'll actually share that.
That's a real fun story, Luke.
It was a really fun story about basically friends are doing cocaine. I am not doing cocaine. I'm just hanging out with them. And it's like 3 a.m. It was ridiculous, but it was a very fun show. And I'd like you to check that out. Also, I have a podcast called Sup FM, a streetwear and lifestyle podcast where we talk about the newest heat coming out when it comes to sneakers. If you're into sneakers, we also talk about sports a little bit on there. I make wild claims about different teams pretty much every week. So this whole Knicks are going to get to the finals thing. This is nothing new for our listeners. They know I'm crazy like this.
Hell yeah. And well, you guys are the fucking best. Thank you guys for doing this podcast and for everyone.
Mama, where can they find you though?
I always do the ending at the end, but you know, Inside the Bubble podcast, Adam Mama Sardar, I post all the time. Gracie Cannon's going to do my new artwork for this. So yeah, this will be out in a week, I think. So yay, you guys are the best. Thank you so much for doing this podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Dope.